Welcome to another episode of the Pilot Network Podcast. I'm Matt, co-host, and we are joined today with Mark Hemelhoe of Cockpit to Cockpit. And as we rapidly approach OBAP 2017, he is here to give us some tips and help us understand how to prepare for that, if whether or not pilots should go, what the value is, and those sorts of things. Welcome back to the show, Mark. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me back. Always good to talk to the TPN audience and provide some good content for them.
Yeah, we love having you on. What have you been up to?
So my big project recently has been working on a second edition of Cockpit to Cockpit. A lot of content added in second edition, and then some updates of things that have changed and stuff. So I'm hoping to get that out to our readers and our audience here real soon.
Like we were talking about before, writing a book, there's so much information that you probably are trying to get in there that is, as soon as you publish and the print books start coming out, there's probably more to add to it already.
So true. So true.
So, like I said before, OBAP is coming up, which, for those who are listening that are unfamiliar or just starting the process a little ways out, that's the Organization of Black Aerospace Professionals job fair, essentially, and it's being held in Orlando this year. Do you talk about this in Cockpit to Cockpit at all, or I'm assuming you've gone to some of these career fairs before, correct?
Yeah, I mean, when I was going through the process, I went to OBAP and Women in Aviation, and I'm excited to announce that Cockpit to Cockpit will actually be attending OBAP this year as not just a vendor, but also teaching a military to airline transition course.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, that'll be absolutely free. So I'm hoping to see some TPN folks show up and introduce themselves. A couple things I can tell you from my research. One of the big ones, I think, is this is going to be the last time that the legacy airlines are going to attend one of these recruiting events. And that's plus and a minus for our listeners. I would say the plus side of it is these things cost money. They charge people to attend. I just looked this morning. It looks like $200 is the registration fee just for the career fair. And that doesn't really include some of the other events they're having in conjunction with the conference. The legacies are going to more of an in-house recruiting program in the future where they're going to host, and we've already seen this. Many of them have already done in-house recruiting events where they bring candidates to their headquarters, show them around, and answer their questions and pitch their airline. You know, the good thing about going to these big job fairs and having the legacies there, which won't be an opportunity in the future, is that they're open to anybody willing to pay the fee. Anyone who wants to attend can attend, and you'll have an opportunity to meet with the legacy recruiters. It sounds like in the future that won't be the case. You'll have to wait for each airline to host their in-house recruiting event and hope that you can get a slot, which are very limited. You know, each airline probably only takes somewhere between 200 and 400 at each of their events, mm-hmm. where OBAP and Women in Aviation and some of these other big job fairs can handle thousands of pilots attending at once.
So that begs the question, let's step back and look at these job fairs from 30,000 foot view, if you will. Mm-hmm. What have they been historically? We hear a lot of high entrance fees and long lines. What's historically been the value and reason why people go to them?
Yeah, well, I mean, the purpose is to recruit minorities into the aviation community, which of course is a great purpose, and we need more diverse culture in aviation in general. So
absolutely
100% support that purpose. But as you said, you know, when the legacies show up, we know there's thousands of pilots that want to get hired at the legacies, and it's hard to squeeze everybody in to see the big major airlines. And I'm using the term legacy loosely here. The major airlines is really how I should phrase that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to provide time for everybody to see them, and that's historically led to long lines, et cetera. Mm-hmm. One of the things I saw on the website this morning is that OBAP is using a first-come, first-serve priority access number, which means it's going to be based on the date and time of your registration. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage anyone who's thinking about attending to get on there and register as quickly as possible to get the highest priority number they can get to get in line to see the airlines that they're interested in meeting with.
So when they register, there's a couple of different options. So let's say you just want to go to the career fair, you just want to talk to one of the major airlines, mm-hmm. and not necessarily take advantage of some of the other events. How do you know you're signing up for the right thing?
I noticed this morning they have different, and by the way, I don't tout myself as the expert on OBAP programs. So obviously, the best thing would be to contact OBAP to get the best information. But from what I could tell this morning looking at it, they have different levels of ticket that you can buy. You can buy the just access to the career fair, which was $200. And then the full conference fee, if you wanted to attend everything, was $450. And that includes some awards dinners, a welcome reception, a history presentation, a lot of different things there. I know at least my class is going to be a free educational seminar there. So that should be available to anybody. I assume that if I'm doing that, there's probably other free educational seminars. I believe that ticket is a career fair / hiring symposium. So I think these classes are included as part of that career fair hiring symposium.
That makes sense.
But I want to give our listeners some tips on things they can do to prepare to attend these events, because you don't want to show up unprepared. This is your big chance. You know,
sure.
This is your time to impress these airline recruiters. So obviously it behooves our listeners to show up well-prepared, their A game, ready to go.
Right. So should you consider it an interview, or is it something different altogether?
Although it's not an interview, I would treat it as such. I would go in with that mindset. And I think if you go in with that mindset, you're going to show up well prepared and ready to impress. First one that I went to, I'll be honest, I was not prepared. I thought, oh, it's just kind of a meet and greet and I can be a little more laid back. And, you know, they started firing questions at me in my 5 minutes of fame, and I was not prepared to answer those questions. So, that's one of the things I'll talk about here is, you know, there are certain things that you need to do. And it starts with showing up looking good. It's not an interview, and a lot of them will advertise that it's business casual. But when you show up, you'll see that everyone else, for the most part, is dressed as though they were there for an interview. So that means suit and tie for the men. That means pantsuit or skirt suit for the ladies. Conventional, conservative type of dress. Very important.
We hear a lot of talk about the color of your suit and your tie. Do you think there's some truth to that?
You know, I don't think, unless it's completely outlandish, think of purple polka dots.
Right.
You know, if it's conservative, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, variations in color and theme. They're not there to say, oh, well, he didn't wear the blue suit with the red tie, so we're not going to interview that person. Mm-hmm. They're just there to meet you. So it's not all that important. Now, subconsciously, I put a tip in my book that talks about, you know, if I'm going to interview with Delta or meet with Delta, you know, maybe a red tie subconsciously kind of says, hey, I fit in. I like your colors. I get your colors. And vice versa, you know, with any other airline, you can kind of figure out which color is most appropriate. That's kind of above and beyond and not really necessary.
Sure. So full interview suit is appropriate, regardless of business casual or otherwise.
Yeah, I definitely think that to be the case. You know, you want to really wow these recruiters. Some other things I can recommend. Obviously, you need to have a resume. You know, have it looking the best that it can possibly look. And there's a lot of tips in Cockpit to Cockpit about how to do that. And there's other good advice out there. You can just get examples from some of your friends that have been hired. But one of the things I've seen that can differentiate you at the job fair is a lot of people just print their resume on copy paper or printer paper, just white printer paper. It looks really sharp if you go spend that $15 at Office Depot and get the nice ivory linen resume paper or beige resume paper. It makes it look very professional. So that's something I recommend to just help you stand out from the crowd. Bring lots of copies. You know, even if you're only planning to meet with, you know, three or four airlines, you just never know who's going to be there that you might consider working for. So bring a lot of copies. 20 to 30 copies is probably about right.
Do you have the opportunity to meet with any airline you want to?
OBAP has not, on their website anyway, advertised exactly how they're going to organize the meetings with airlines, other than to say that they're going to give you priority access number based on the date and time you register. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if they're going to limit you to, you know, say three airlines or top three choices. Or that's what I've seen at Women in Aviation and some other big job fairs in the past. Mm-hmm. But usually, if that's the case, even though you may not get a priority access pass to meet with them, say, for a one-on-one five-minute session, generally, they're still going to have a booth at that event, and you can kind of go and casually talk in the open exhibit hall with people from that airline. So, you know, even if you don't get that 5 minute one-on-one time, you'll still get to meet with representatives from that airline probably.
Sure. Sure. That makes sense. You said that the first one you went to, you got your 5 minutes, you got to the front of the line, and they just started firing questions at you. What kind of stuff should people be prepared for in that?
Yeah. Great. Great question. You know, you're going to spend the money to go to this thing. So I would say do your homework before you show up and research that airline. Know the basics. Have a good idea of what type of aircraft they fly, where they're domiciled at, their fleet size, maybe just a brief overview of the history of the company. You know, you don't have to memorize the whole timeline, but just kind of understanding where that company came from and what their history is a good idea. Mm-hmm. And maybe some current news about that airline. And I would say that the airline's website, usually at the bottom, there's going to be an About Us or a media kit link that has a ton of good information on there, recent awards, recent news about that airline, stock price, you know, all that stuff is good stuff to research. Mm-hmm. So, and then more to your point, as far as being ready for what they're going to ask you, you know, common sense, they're there to meet you. They want to find out who you are, what's your background, where did you come from? So they're going to take your resume and they're going to say, well, you know, tell me about yourself or walk me through your resume. That's your opportunity to shine. So you should probably show up prepared with a 1 to 2 minute max overview of your history, your flying background, your educational background, and any highlights from your career. But I would encourage you to go even one step further and not just give them what's already in front of them on the piece of paper, but try to add a little bit that's not on your resume. You know, throw in some personal information. I'm married. I have 3 kids. We just got back from a great family vacation to Disney World. You know, try to make a personal connection with that recruiter because they're going to hear the same thing from 1,000 pilots that day. And you want to be that person that says something interesting that sparks their curiosity and strikes up a conversation. You know, maybe even talk about your interests. Like, I'm an avid cyclist, and, you know, who knows? Maybe the person you're talking to loves cycling. So you get the point.
Sure. Absolutely. So do you think it's realistic that the conversation that you have with that recruiter for those couple of minutes amidst all the other candidates is going to stick in their mind?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's the goal. And generally what they're doing, and by the way, I'll digress here just for a second and sure. say, and I think you can confirm this from what you've been seeing on TPN, that the vast majority of interviews I've seen lately are coming from people they meet at these recruiting events, either at the big job fairs or at these in-house pilot recruiting events. So I think they are very interested in meeting the person and getting to know the person and saying, wow, this person really impressed me. So what they're doing when you're talking to them is they're looking over your resume, they're circling things that they like, and they're, you know, they got one ear tuned to you and one ear, you know, one focus of attention on your resume.
Sure.
By the end of that 5 minutes, you know, as you walk away, they're going to put you in one or two piles. You know, you're either going in the, you know, wow, this person really wowed me, and I think this is somebody we should pull their application and score it and see if we can interview them, or you're going to get put aside to maybe later. Other things that you should be ready for, in addition to telling them about who you are, they may ask you why you want to work at that particular airline. Be honest and tell them what is it about that airline that attracts you to them. Maybe it's what they fly, where they are. Maybe it's their history, their culture. Maybe you have friends that work there that really love that company and have told you great things about it. Whatever it is, you know, be prepared to tell them why that airline in particular. And then they might ask, you know, I've talked to 1,000 people here today. Why should I hire you? What is it about you that makes me want to hire you versus all these other people? So that's your moment to shine.
A lot of people have a hard time answering those sorts of questions because they feel arrogant or self-serving, but this isn't the time to do that. You're at a little mini interview. It's time to talk about what you have to offer, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. It is. And remember, you're being hired to be a pilot at the end of the day. So try to focus your what separates you from your candidates on things that relate to flying background, maybe flying awards that you've won, maybe, you know, showing that you have great CRM skills or interpersonal skills that have been highlighted throughout your military career, things that would really be attractive to an airline recruiter.
Absolutely. What kind of recruiters in general, just in your experience, are you talking to at this event? Are they line captains, or are they actually in the recruiting department, or are they on interview boards, or a mixture of all the above?
Yeah, I would say a mixture. I've seen the whole gamut. I've met with chief of HR, the chief of pilot hiring one time, just by random luck of the draw. That's who I met with for a legacy airline. Mm-hmm. I've been interviewed by captains at that airline. I've been interviewed by new hire FOs who have been there less than a year. And I've talked to just people that work in the HR department, you know, so it's kind of luck of the draw as far as who you get. But doesn't really matter who it is. You know, you're there to show your stuff and impress that person. So show up with the A game.
All right. So let's say you're totally prepared for the questions. You're in the mindset that this is an interview. And you're in that 5 minutes and you're talking about your story and where you came from and how you got there. Do you have any tips or experience that on how to kind of interact with that interviewer? Is it going to be a two-way conversation, or is it just you talking for 5 minutes and them taking notes on the resume?
Yeah, your goal is to make it a two-way conversation and spark some connection with that interviewer.
That makes sense.
And one of the things you want to try to do is sort of read their body language, see, are they engaged right now? Are they actively listening, or do they kind of seem like they just want to move on to the next candidate? Mm-hmm. And if you're getting that feeling like there's just a lull in the conversation and things aren't really moving forward, a great way to kind of keep things going is to be prepared with questions. And I'm sure everyone who attends these events has real questions that they want to know about these various airlines. And this is your chance to ask those questions to somebody who directly works for that airline. So, you know, show up prepared, have those questions ready to go. But at the same time, this is a fine line to walk.
Right.
If you know you've been there like 5 or 6 minutes already and they seem like they're getting antsy, it might be time to graciously let them off the hook and kind of start wrapping things up because you don't want to be the annoying kid either. You don't want to be the kid that just won't go away.
So, you don't want to stand out in their mind for that.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's a fine line to walk, and you'll have to kind of be good at reading the situation to know which direction to take it in. Mm-hmm. And then this is my big foot stomper for this podcast is here's a way to really separate yourself out from everybody else. As things are winding down and you know that you're about to move on, ask that person if you can get their business card or some way to contact them. If they don't have a business card, just say, oh, is there an email I can email you at? And do your follow-up. It's so important in the civilian world. It's something that in the military we just never thought that much about. But so important to do your follow-up and send that quick email within a day of that job fair and say, you know what, thank you for taking the time to meet with me. I know that, you know, you had to spend a long time talking to people all day, and that can be very tiring. And I just really appreciate that you showed genuine interest in me. That shows me what a great company this is to work for and just reinforces how much I want to work for whatever airline this is. I just can't emphasize what a big difference that makes when somebody gets that email, or even better, a handwritten note, and they're like, wow, who takes the time to do that? Somebody who really cares about people, and that's who they want to hire.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Do you think it's appropriate to have your own business cards made up or something like that? Or should your resume speak for itself at that point?
Yeah, I mean, the resume is really what they're there for. But, you know, I would say anything that kind of helps you stand out or gives them a takeaway that they can hold on to. You know, maybe all the resumes need to go back to HR, but they can hold on to your business card in particular. Maybe you asked them a question they didn't know the answer to, and they can follow up with you later on and get you that answer. Just whatever keeps that connection going. That's why you're there. It's all about networking.
And I think the biggest thing, you mentioned it briefly, but the biggest thing to remember is that person, regardless of their interest in you or not, whatever the case may be, they've been standing there all day talking to a lot of people. And that is exhausting. If you've ever done something similar to that, that takes a lot of work, especially when you have to be interested, at least outwardly, on what everyone is saying. And it's easy to do when someone's a highly qualified candidate, but averages probably dictate that not everyone is the top candidate. And so maintaining their attention, and that takes effort on their part as well. So they're probably tired.
And that's why you definitely want to thank them on the way out, as well as things are wrapping up. Just thank them for, you know, spending time with you and volunteering. Well, most of them volunteer to go to these events. So, you know, they're there on their own time, just because they want quality people for their airline. So that's, definitely a good point.
So once you're done speaking with one airline, do people generally kind of make the rounds and talk to as many airlines as they can? Or is there usually some sort of preset flow? I know you mentioned that the OBAP website didn't specifically talk about this event, but just on in your experience, how does that functionally operate?
Generally, what's going on is each airline is going to give a group presentation that anyone's welcome to attend, to talk about their hiring process and answer questions and just give exciting news about what's going on at that airline. And they'll usually offer that several times throughout the conference, so that if you can't meet at one time, you can show up to one of their other events. So those are important to go to, because you don't want to sit down to meet with the recruiter and ask questions that could have been answered in the big group session.
You want to take advantage of that short period of time that you have.
Exactly. So those are usually things that you definitely want to take advantage of. And then there's usually other classes going on. Just like I talked about, I'll be teaching a military to airline transition workshop. There's interview technique workshops. There's resume building workshops. So there's a lot of good information to be had there. So what I usually do is either get the schedule ahead of time, or at least the very least, show up early day one and look at that overall schedule. And I build my personal game plan of, okay, here's how I'm going to spend my time day one. Here's how I'm going to spend my time day two. I'm going to go to this class and then this lecture and then meet with this airline, and just try to maximize your time there, because, you know, you're not there just to eat the food and, you know, socialize at night and have beers with the bros you haven't seen in a while, which is fun, and you will see some people you haven't seen in a while at these things.
Sure.
But, you know, keep your eye on the ball. You're there to get a job, and you want to maximize your time there.
So when the schedule comes out, how does someone find out about your workshop and make sure that they don't miss that? Do they just look you up on the workshop, or are you going to be at a specific booth?
Wish I knew that at this point, that I could give you that information for the podcast, but they still haven't told me where I'll be located or what times I'll be teaching. But when I get that info, I will put it out on cockpittocockpit.com and on my Facebook page. I'll throw it out there on TPN as well.
Oh yeah, that's what TPN is for.
To make sure that we get that word out to everybody, because I'd love to see as many TPNers as I can show up to my class. And then, of course, anybody who wants to just stop by and say hi, maybe you've already been hired, but you live in Orlando, who knows? Just want to meet with as many folks as possible.
Matt, I know a lot of people have been to several of these job fairs, but this really sounds like being the last one of this type. Might be worth attending if guys and gals have the opportunity. And I know sometimes they can be really intimidating if they are your first ones walking in. You're not really sure where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do, or even what you're supposed to dress like. So just having the advantage of a little bit of your experience is, I'm sure, very assuring for other pilots. Is there anything else that comes to mind that we should know going into this sort of thing?
You know, be prepared with something to write with. You know, have a little professional portfolio thing with a pen and a pad of paper, because you're going to want to take notes, and there's going to be a lot of good information flowing at you. Just treat it like a professional. You're there to learn. You're there to network, and have fun with it. You know, don't let it get you all nervous meeting with these airline folks. They're great people. They were once you. They were, mm-hmm. I was once you. You know, we've all been there. it's just part of the process. So take advantage of it.
Thanks so much for being on the show again today, Mark. Every time you give us a ton of great information. If anyone wants to reach out to you and get in touch, how can they do that?
Yep. www.cockpit2cockpit.com. So that's cockpit2cockpit.com.
All right. Very cool. Thanks a lot, Mark. And we will talk to you again later.